Know that God has a plan. God has a purpose. He does not look to the left or the right, but he focuses on what he's already established. And this is part two of the foundational blocks of Messianic Judaism, focusing on the Moedim. I couldn't comprise it all in one message, so I had to split it into two. Needless to say, Adonai splits his Moedim up as well. They're not all at the same time. He spreads them out. You have three in the spring. You have one around summertime. Then you have three in the fall. This is a response to objections by those who do not embrace and thus understand Messianic Judaism. So, I've been asked, well, can you help us to be able to respond to people when we get asked questions? I know some of you would rather have me there and just answer the questions for them. I've been there too. We've driven places. I went up to Farmington to speak with someone directly. Sometimes you have me respond to their email. Whatever it may be, the purpose of this is what Yeshua did with his Talmidim. Rabbi, can you come with me so I can answer this person? I'm not going with you, but I will bring someone that will go with you. Think of that 2,000 years ago. So this lengthy subtitle is intended to convey the intent to where we are going from here. You can email me, you can phone me, we can have a meeting together. Yet technically I'm not on call. You can't page me and say, okay, Rabbi, you need to be here with me so I can answer this question of this person. You have something better. You have the Ruach HaKodesh. I pray that I've been instilling seeds, that they've taken root and are growing in you. That you can be the voice that God is calling you to be. Remember earlier I shared that we are a community of communities. We are not a single established place that garners to the people living within walking distance of us. We have the ability to drive. We have the ability to reach people around the world. Yet that does not replace fellowshipping directly with the people that you are in contact with. A significant foundational block for us as believers and infused within Messianic Judaism are the Moedim, the appointed times of Adonai, what we call the Feast of Israel. Today's parsha focuses on Leviticus 23. And we read in Leviticus 23, Adonai instructing Moses to tell the people of Israel, the designated times of Adonai which you are to proclaim as holy convocations are my designated times. He established them, he has authority over them, and he gave them to Israel because what you're going to see is that what God gave Israel is infused into their very existence. It's infused into their very livelihood. Why? Why did God do this? Ultimately, because of that infusion, the very fabric, they identify the nation as who they are and distinct from other nations and people. Last Shabbat, I had shared with you the impactful presence of Shabbat. I can go on and on and on about it. the Passover season, which includes the Feast of Matzah and HaBikurim. I can go on and on and on and on, on about that. I shared not just the establishment of these appointed times given to Israel, but the relevance of these times in relation to Yeshua. I've shared this before and will share it once more. If these appointed times were merely what they were intended for, then there is no meaning for anyone outside of the nation of Israel, who would include those of the descendants of Abraham, Yitzhak, and Yaakov, and those who have chosen to reside with them, the ger, the foreigner, for which Adonai made provision. If Passover was only about the Exodus, as I've shared before, then it means nothing to anyone else. But God didn't stop there. It would be the equivalent of the 4th of July. The 4th of July does not mean anything to any other nation on the face of the earth, except this nation. Yet God did not stop there. It is because Adonai has established the Moedim, not just as memorials, but also as a path he would take through Yeshua in not only redeeming his people, but redeeming the entire world, all of his creation. John 3:16 and 17. You hear 16 all the time, but how often do you hear the 17th verse? For God so loved the world that he gave his only and unique Son, so that everyone who trusts in him may have eternal life instead of being utterly destroyed. For God did not send his Son into the world to judge the world, but rather so that through him the world might be saved. It all started through Yeshua, but before Yeshua, God revealed a mystery, a sod, and that was his Moedim. And Shaul conveys, "For I am not ashamed of the good news, since it is God's powerful means of bringing salvation to everyone who trusts, who keeps on trusting, to the Jew especially, but equally to the Gentile. For in it is revealed how God makes people righteous in his sight. And from beginning to end, it is through trust, as the Tanakh puts it. But the person who is righteous will live his life by trust." Last week I had shared with you that Shabbat was a day set apart and given to Israel as a sign of the covenant Adonai made with them at Sinai. Last week I shared with you that the Passover season was a memorial for when Adonai delivered a people who would become a nation from the bondage of slavery, and how Yeshua delivered us from the bondage of another type of slavery, our transgression. Last week I shared with you that Shavuot was a memorial, remembering the time when Adonai revealed and gave Torah to the nation. He redeemed them from slavery, and when he would initially pour out his Ruach upon his people. Jew first and also the nations, empowering them with the Torah written upon their hearts as a sign of the new covenant, established through Yeshua's blood, being the mediator. We read of the new covenant in Jeremiah 31, and this is the promise that God makes. He says, "Here the days are coming, says Adonai, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah. It will not be like the covenant I made with their fathers on the day I took them by their hand and brought them out of the land of Egypt, because they, for their part, violated my covenant, even though I, for my part, was a husband to them, says Adonai. For this is the covenant I will make with the house of Israel after those days. I will put my Torah within them, write it on their hearts. I will be their God, and they will be my people." We read in Luke chapter 22 and verse 20, where Yeshua conveys this very dynamic. He did the same with the cup after the meal. He did a bracha, Then he said, this cup, the cup after the meal, is the new covenant ratified by my blood, which is being poured out for you. The cup after the meal we know to be the third cup, the cup of redemption. We know from our Passover Seder, and thus a representation, another symbol of the covenant. We witness Yeshua leave prior to Shavuot, when he ascends to heaven, yet leaves his Talmidim with a final instruction prior to his departure from earth. Starting in Acts chapter 1, verse 6. When they were together, they asked him, Lord, are you at this time going to restore self-rule to Israel? He answered, you don't need to know the dates or the times. The Father has kept these under his own authority. But you will receive power when the Ruach HaKodesh comes upon you. You will be my witnesses both in Jerusalem, all of Judea, Samaria, indeed to the ends of the earth. After saying this, he was taken up before their eyes, and a cloud hid him from their sight. As they were staring into the sky after him, suddenly they saw two men dressed in white standing next to them. The men said, you Galileans, why are you standing, staring into space? This Yeshua who has been taken away from you into heaven will come back to you in just the same way as you saw him go into heaven. For the men standing there making this statement reveal another mystery, another sod, for which Yeshua had revealed prior to his ascension and prior to his death, burial, and resurrection, that of his return. His Talmidim did not truly grasp what he was saying then, at that time, in that moment when Yeshua shared with them on the Mount of Olives, when he was asked, tell us, they said, when will these things happen? And what will be the sign that you are coming and that these are the end of days? Yeshua went into a lengthy response in Matthew 24, speaking in imagery and using allusion to answer their questions. This imagery and allusion were intentional because his words painted a picture that would capture the essence of his return and ultimately an aspect of when he would return. We would not know the actual date and time, yet we would know the date as it pertains to a specific season. So we don't know it's going to be September 28th, 2024. Don't hold me to that. It hasn't happened yet. The point that I'm getting at, we don't know the specific day and specific time. Yet consider this, Matthew 24:29, but immediately following the trouble of those times, the sun will grow dark, the moon will stop shining, the stars will fall from the sky, and the powers in heaven will be shaken. Then the sign of the Son of Man will appear in the sky. All the tribes of the land will mourn, and they will see the Son of Man coming on the clouds of heaven with tremendous power and glory. He was taken up in a cloud and he disappeared from them. Yet he's going to be returning on a cloud. He will send out his angels with a great shofar, and they will gather together his chosen people from the four winds, from one end of heaven to the other. From that which he left, ascended, he would return the very same way as was conveyed to Yeshua's Talmidim. Yet Yeshua provides us with more details pertaining to his return. the sun will grow dark and the moon will stop shining is an allusion to evening and the new moon. Personally, I believe there is more to this than that of the sun just stopping to shine. Because think of it this way. When it's night, the sun is still shining, yet you don't see it in one place due to the rotation of the earth. Yet in this case, the sun will stop shining completely and throughout the world. In other words, if it's dark here, it will be dark on the other side of the earth as well. A sign isn't just simply saying, oh, well, it's going to be dark. That's not a sign because it happens all the time. It has to be something significant. There will not even be any stars shining. What does this mean but total and complete darkness? Go back to Genesis 1:2. That's the last time we saw total and complete darkness. Thus making this sign unmistakable. And unmistakable to everyone. Consider these verses. Adonai said to Moses, tell the people of Israel, in the seventh month, the first of the month, is to be for you a day of complete rest, for remembering, a holy convocation, announced with blasts of the shofar. What is the first day of the month but Rosh Chodesh, a new moon? The moon is dark and not seen by the naked eye. This moed is known as Rosh Hashanah. It is also referred as Yom Teruah, the day of blasts. Go back to Yeshua's revelation in Matthew 24, starting in verse 29. But immediately following the trouble of those times, the sun will grow dark, the moon will stop shining, and the stars will fall from the sky, and the powers of heaven shaken. In verse 31, he will send out his angels with a great shofar, a great blast, a sound recognizable. There's a note that sounds on Rosh Hashanah. It's the last one. Tekia Gadola. As long as the blower of the shofar has breath, that's how long it lasts. It makes my hair on the back of my neck stand up when I hear it. Because I'm reminded of this verse. I'm reminded of a sound that everyone will hear. Many may not recognize, but they will know. Total darkness will fall upon the world, only to be awakened by a blast of the shofar and the sign of the Son of Man appearing. I've shared this before, and I will share it again. John 8:12. Yeshua spoke to them again, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have a light which gives life. Many don't realize the fullness of his words here. In Revelation 22:5, night will no longer exist, so they will need neither the light of the lamp nor the light of the sun, because Adonai God will shine upon them, and they will reign as kings forever and ever. Yeshua is that light that will appear. On that day when everything goes dark, yet this time, this revelation by Yeshua, captured in the New Covenant writings, is foreign to the majority who have come to place their trust in the Jewish Messiah. This aspect is so foreign, you hear various teachings conveyed over the years that have missed the mark 100% of the time. If you want perfection, you've got perfection. It's perfection from the wrong side. They are ignoring him, thinking whatever revelation is a new revelation of God or from God. And it is right there before their eyes. It's right there in words. Yes, some assembly is required. There are other errors that I've shared with you as it pertains to other signs that we are to pay attention to in recognizing what must transpire before Yeshua even returns. Yet when you have such shoddy revelation as Yeshua can return at any moment in time, that's deceiving the body of Messiah. It's putting a false hope in a people that, oh, well, we can go at any time. No. Another thing that is lost as it pertains is who will prompt his return. Ultimately, the focus is on the pronouncement of the gospel to the ends of the earth. What is typically understood as being every ear will hear the gospel, and then Yeshua will return. And this comes from Matthew 24:14, yet true, not complete. And the good news about the kingdom will be announced throughout the whole world as a witness to all the goyim. It is then that the end will come. Yet this is not the sole factor signaling Yeshua's return, but rather the promise that resides within the new covenant built upon the other covenants and their promises as well. Adonai through Jeremiah conveys that the new covenant is made with the Jewish people, a divided kingdom. Here the days are coming, says Adonai, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah. God is speaking of both kingdoms divided at the time of Jeremiah, divided at the time of Yeshua, divided today. It has not been unified, and it will not be unified until Yeshua returns. Yet this new covenant will be the means by which Adonai will restore the kingdom he established. Furthermore, Yeshua conveys at the end of Matthew 23 before Matthew 24, when he's conveying to the leadership that you will not see me again, the you being the Jewish people, you will not see me again until you say. They have to say it. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Why do you think there's this move of Messianic Judaism? Why do you think God is opening Jewish eyes? To prepare us for that moment in time. So it is the new covenant that will establish a unified kingdom. For this is the covenant I will make with the house of Israel after those days. What happened to Judah? Speaking of the new covenant, this is speaking of a united kingdom, not a divided kingdom. I will put my Torah within you and write it on your hearts. I will be your God and you will be my people. A nation once divided with a nation will be a nation united, where there is only one king, for which I have shared with you on Tuesday nights when I shared with you the Davidic covenant. Yeshua will be the fulfillment of the Davidic covenant. He will be on the throne forever. In reuniting the kingdom, Adonai is gathering them from all over the world, returning them to the land for which he has scattered them because of their lack of faith in him. For Deuteronomy chapter 30, God speaking to Moses conveys, when the time arrives and all these things have come upon you, both the blessing and the curse which I have presented to you, and you are there among the nations to which Adonai your God has driven you, then at last you will start thinking about what has happened to you. And you will return to Adonai your God and pay attention to what he has said, which will be exactly what I am ordering you to do today. You and your children with all your heart and all your being. At that point, Adonai your God will reverse your exile and show you mercy. He will return and gather you from all the peoples to which Adonai your God has scattered you. If one of yours was scattered to the far end of the sky, Adonai your God will gather you even from there. He will go there to get you. You're not hidden to him. His people are not hidden to him. Adonai your God will bring you back into the land your ancestors possessed, and you will possess it. He will make you prosper there. And you will become even more numerous than your ancestors. That's happening today. Then Adonai your God will circumcise your hearts and the hearts of your children so that you will love Adonai your God with all your heart and with all your being, and thus you will live. He didn't say, well, I'm going to circumcise your heart and then bring you into the land. He didn't say that. He's gathering them. He's bringing them into the land. What are we seeing in Israel? But we're seeing a move of the Messianic Jew as well. So it's not exclusive to this country, but it is occurring in the land also. This is what's happening now. You are witnesses of Adonai fulfilling his promise and regathering his people. This leads me to the final fulfillment of the nation's restoration, atonement for their transgression. And I should say nation singular. We see this happening as we speak, yet individually. More Jewish people are coming to Messiah than at any time in the history of the world. Adonai is opening eyes and circumcising hearts, yet the nation as a whole has yet to embrace Adonai's promise through Yeshua. It will be upon Yeshua's return that all Jewish eyes will be opened, and the revelation of who Yeshua is will not only be made known, but will be embraced. Consider Zechariah chapter 12, starting in verse 10. And I will pour out on the house of David and on those living in Jerusalem a spirit of grace and prayer. And they will look to me whom they pierced. They will mourn for him as one mourns for an only son. They will be in bitterness on his behalf, like the bitterness for a firstborn son. When that day comes, there will be great mourning in Jerusalem, mourning like that of Hadad Rimon in the Megiddo Valley. Then the land will mourn, each family by itself, the family of the house of David by itself, and their wives by themselves, the family of the house of Nathan by itself, and their wives by themselves, the family of the house of Levi by itself, and their wives by themselves, and Shimon. And then it says, all the remaining families, each by itself, and their wives. All will mourn for what they did not recognize, yet has been revealed to them. And upon Yeshua's death, the following was proclaimed in John chapter 19, verses 36 and 37. For these things happened in order to fulfill this passage of the Tanakh. Not one of his bones will be broken. and another passage saying, they will look to him whom they have pierced. Quoting Zechariah 12, they knew the prophecies. God revealed the connection to them. This time will come upon us starting with Yom Teruah, when the Jewish eyes are opened and the realization will hit all who have not yet seen. They will return to Adonai through Teshuva as the next Moed appears. The 10th day of the 7th month is Yom Kippur. You are to have a holy convocation. You are to deny yourselves and you are to bring an offering made by fire to Adonai. You are not to do any kind of work on that day because it is Yom Kippur, to make atonement for you before Adonai. Anyone who does not deny himself on that day is to be cut off from his people. And anyone who does any kind of work on that day, I will destroy from among his people. For you are not to do any kind of work. It is a permanent regulation through all your generations, no matter where you live. It will be for you a Shabbat of complete rest, and you are to deny yourselves. You are to rest on your Shabbat from the evening of the 9th until the following evening. So this Day of Atonement, Yom Kippur, this is a day that belongs to the Jewish people only, in that it is the day Adonai will bring the new covenant into its fullness when he forgives their sin and remembers it no more. For this is the covenant I will make with the house of Israel after those days. The house of Israel. What is the house of Israel? The entire nation. I will put my Torah within them, write it on their hearts. I will be their God and they will be my people. Signed, sealed, and now delivered. Yet if this day is only for the nation of Israel and the Jewish people, why should it be important to the nations? It is important to the nations to convey and thus amplify Adonai is faithful to his word. He's faithful to his promises. If he did not keep his word with Israel, then why would he keep his word with anyone else? Shaul amplifies this in Romans chapter 11. So you will say, speaking to the hearers and readers of Romans, branches were broken off that I might be grafted in. True, but so what? These are Gentiles speaking of the olive tree, being grafted into the olive tree. They were broken off because of their lack of trust. However, you keep your place only because of your trust. So don't be arrogant. On the contrary, be terrified. For if God did not spare the natural branches, he certainly won't spare you. So take a good look at God's kindness and his severity. On the one hand, severity toward those who fell off. But on the other hand, God's kindness towards you, provided you maintain yourself in that kindness. Otherwise, you too will be cut off. Moreover, the others, if they do not persist in their lack of trust, will be grafted in, because God is able to graft them back in. For if you were cut out of what is by nature a wild olive tree and grafted contrary by nature into a cultivated olive tree, how much more will these natural branches be grafted back into their own tree? For brothers, I want you to understand this truth which God formerly concealed but has now revealed, so that you won't imagine you know more than you actually do. It is that stoniness to agree that has come upon Israel until the Gentile world enters in its fullness. and that it is in this way that all Israel will be saved. As the Tanakh says, out of Zion will come the Redeemer. He will turn away ungodliness from Yaakov. And this will be my covenant with them when I take away their sins. And then the other part of that, which he did not quote, but if you go to it, I will remember them no more. With respect to the good news, they are hated for your sake, but with respect to being chosen, they are loved for the patriarch's sake. For God's free gift and his calling are irrevocable. He cannot take them away once he has shared them. So this day is important to the nations, even though the nations are not direct participants, yet should be supporting this day as witnesses to the validity and power of Adonai's promise. For I am not ashamed of the good news, since it is God's powerful means of bringing salvation to everyone who keeps trusting, to the Jew especially, but equally to the nations. For in it is revealed how God makes people righteous in his sight. And from beginning to end, it is through trust, as the Tanakh puts it. But the person who is righteous will live his life by trust. And thus the promise to the Jew first. For if they're casting Yeshua aside means reconciliation for the world, what will their accepting him mean but life from the dead? What are they going to be but the fruit of the resurrection as well? A restoration, a reunification of the kingdom brings us to the final Moed, Sukkot, where it says on the 15th day of the seventh month is the feast of Sukkot for 7 days. On the first day there is a holy convocation. Do not do any kind of ordinary work. For in 7 days you are to bring an offering made by fire, and on the eighth day you are to have another holy convocation. So Sukkot represents a temporary dwelling the nation would reside in while in the wilderness, and it would become a memorial of their wandering and Adonai being with them. For tabernacle means, or Sukkot means, that God is with us and is the image of not only the millennial kingdom but of the kingdom of Adonai, in that he will reside with his people. Again, a promise conveyed through Jeremiah in verse 32. I will put my Torah within them, write it on their hearts. I will be their God and they will be my people. The Moedim are intricately woven through the new covenant, established through Yeshua, and are foundational blocks for every believer. It is the Moedim that typically are the first thing that many Christians become aware of. How many of you here are here because you became curious about the feasts? Passover is probably the lowest hanging fruit that people grasp onto. Yet not everyone sees what I have shared with you today. Last Shabbat and throughout the years of this congregation, documented on our website in sermons and articles, found in our Passover Haggadah, everything I shared with you is there. Everything is there for you and anyone who so chooses to gain greater and deeper understanding. Remember what Yeshua conveyed in Luke when he was speaking to his disciples after his resurrection. He said, this is what I meant when I was still with you and told you everything written about me in the Torah of Moses, the prophets, and the Psalms had to be fulfilled. If they only had a website they could go to all the time. But they don't. They have something better. They have the Spirit of God residing in them, reminding them, teaching them, showing them. And this is what he said. Then he opened their minds so that they could understand the Tanakh, telling them, here's what it says. The Messiah is to suffer and to rise from the dead on the third day. And in his name, repentance leading to forgiveness of sins is to be proclaimed to people from all nations. Starting where? Jerusalem. Your minds have been opened through the power and assistance of the Ruach HaKodesh. May the minds of others be open too. It's crystal clear to me. I have no doubt about any of this that I've shared with you. This isn't just the message. It is about the messenger. The Moedim are about the messenger. You are witnesses of these things. You weren't there to hear Yeshua speak or witness what transpired. So let me close again, as I did last week, with these verses to remind you about Thomas, who was one of the 12, and he was not with them when Yeshua came to see them. Yet he heard about it. When the other Talmidim told him, "We have seen the Lord," he replied. And keeping in mind, this is witnesses. They're not just tickling his ears saying, "Well, let's cheer him up. Let's tell him something that will reassure him." Thomas's response, "Unless I see the nail marks in his hands, put my finger into the place where the nails were and put my hand into his side, I refuse to believe it." People refuse to believe this today. Yet they're not as blessed as Thomas was. A week later, his Talmidim were once more in the room, and this time Thomas was with them. Although the doors were locked, Yeshua came, stood among them, and said, "Shalom Aleichem." The doors were locked. There was no knocking at the door. I would have loved to have seen Thomas's expression when Yeshua comes through the wall or through the door, whichever way he comes in, and appears. Thomas didn't speak first, but Yeshua did. Because Yeshua knows what transpired the week before. "Thomas, put your finger here. Look at my hands. Take your hand and put it into my side. Don't be lacking in trust, but have trust." Thomas's response, "My Lord and my God." Seeing is believing. However, what happens when you don't have that ability? When you don't have that opportunity? Yeshua's response, "Have you trusted because you have seen me?" He asked the question of Thomas. Rabbi asking a question, big surprise. Then he responds, "How blessed are those who do not see, but trust anyway. Every one of you in this room, every one of you online, fall into that category." Yeshua spoke of you long before you were born. Now it is time to bring sight to others who do not see what you have seen and embraced. These times that I've shared with you over the last 2 weeks are foundational for every believer yet is fully embraced within Messianic Judaism. Why? Because it is part of us. You have been grafted in to us. Therefore, we're sharing with you what is of us. And ultimately, this should be foundational throughout the body of Messiah. I don't care what denomination is on the door or on the sign. This should be agreed upon doctrine across the board. It's in the New Covenant. It's right there. Yet it's not. And I shared this and I'll share it again. Because you are his witnesses. You have partaken in this reality. So let your focus be one person at a time. A divine appointment. An appointment established by God. Let the Ruach HaKodesh be your Aaron to Moses if you are uncertain of your words. This should be fully immersed within you. If the Spirit resides in you, then it should be there. Don't ignore this. Don't doubt like Thomas until you see. God's eyes have opened your eyes. God's Spirit has caused you to see. You should be seeing through his eyes. Because what does it say? His word is a lamp. He is the light. So keep these things in mind. You will have opportunity to speak to others. Do you have the passion to do so? Passion isn't something that you can learn, but it's something that comes from inside you. If you truly believe this, then it should be busting at the seams to come out of you. It shouldn't be a feel-good moment for you. But when God opens a door of opportunity for you, where someone asks you, why do you do that? Why are you coming here? It doesn't make sense to me. The door has been opened. The person, by asking the question, has knocked. Open it up. Come in, let's have a talk. Let me show you a few things. Let's go through the scriptures. This isn't my opinion, but this is what God says. So keep these things in mind. This is foundational. This is foundational to everyone. This is the foundation. These are the foundational blocks by which the foundation. This is the foundation by which the foundational blocks rest upon. This is how the kingdom is built. Because there's no way to get to the kingdom except through Yeshua. And his path that he got and shows and reveals are the Moedim. Plain and simple. Can't get any simpler than that. So everybody please rise.